everybody. Welcome to episode 286 of the podcast with my wonderful guest, Marla Sokoloff. I hope you enjoy it. I do want to do a couple of shout outs to Marcelo. Great to hear from you, and Shannon for sending me a fantastic People Mover poster that I'm so excited to get framed, as well as some beautiful sort of prints of the Diamond in the Window, which is one of my other favorite books, some of the illustrations from that. What a joy. I am also wanting to give, here's what, I mentioned Cora Fitness a couple of weeks ago, and I wanted to send you to Tumblr for more information if you're interested in. You can check out, go to at the Willow Tree 3, that's the number 3, so the Willow Tree 3, all one word, but again, that last 3 is a number. Or you can check out Gio's Tumblr handle is at Avatar Muscles, like bicep muscles, not like eat muscles from the sea. So check that out. They're doing some great work at inspiring people, Cora style. And I think that's it. I will leave you to it, and I'll talk to you guys soon. Hope everybody's well.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
I'm going to record it. This is the podcast. It being the podcast, we're on. It's happening. We're doing it.
It's going.
I was so delighted to hear from you.
And I kind of stalked you.
Please. No, who stalked who?
Well, okay.
Who stalked who?
No, but I so appreciated. Well, I guess we should tell the story that I was at the Oakland airport with my family. And you so kindly came up to me and gave me your card and said, I have a podcast. Please come on. And of course, because I'm super responsible and together, I lost that card. But for an entire year, I thought about it. I was like, I never emailed her. That is so rude.
Oh my gosh.
And then one day, I think you came up in a feed, a Twitter feed, a Facebook feed, or an Instagram feed of mine. And I was like, oh my goodness, that's her. I'm going to have to track her down.
Oh my gosh.
So then I creepily emailed you through your website.
Not in any way creepy. It was so charming. I was so delighted. And yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think if there has been any other time that I have been like, I guess I'm just going to say something. But yeah, it was, and it, I think something about it not being in LA was somehow more encouraging to me, where I was like, you know what? This might feel less slimy for me somehow because we're both in the Bay Area. Maybe that feels like more like, hey, neighbor, somehow.
Like, look at us. There's got to be some reason
she's
California
here.
Girls.
Yeah. And it also wasn't a thing where, because I feel like this happens to me all the time, and perhaps it happens to you, but it was also a thing where, like, I fully knew your name. I just, like, before I was even doing this, because your show ended before I had moved down here, I had totally, like, before even there was binging, I feel like I rented DVDs at a video store to watch The Practice,
oh
and I loved
gosh,
it so much.
That's awesome.
So I was like, I know exactly who that is. I know. It's not, it wasn't a thing where I was like, do I know you from somewhere?
You mean the thing that people do to me every time I leave my house? Yeah, no, I'm very familiar
with
that thing.
It happens to me too, where people are like, did we go to high school together? Yep. I think that's a very common.
The high school.
Did we go to high school together?
Or are you friends with my sister? Because I'm pretty sure you came for Thanksgiving like 4 years ago. Is it? No, not me. Do not know your sister. I think that's one of my favorites. But my second is when somebody comes up to me and says, why don't you act anymore? You are so great. I just miss you.
Yeah.
Or one of those, you know, where you're like,
I'm going to burst right into your life and personal choices and tell you. Well, that's the other thing, right, is that when people who do Comic-Cons and stuff, that is the number one thing they have to get over, which is like, oh, people have their thing they love, and if you don't happen to be on the one next thing that they're passionate about, or the three next things, because now there's so much to see and watch and love, that there definitely is that where it's like, so what have you been up to?
Yeah.
Why aren't you doing? And you're like, okay.
Right. It's like, you know, sorry you didn't see my independent film that I made.
Yeah, exactly.
Never saw the light of day.
It's hard. It's hard. And there is, you're right. There's so much that gets made that never really gets an audience, but is great, yeah, or just never even gets released because it's a pilot, or, right, you know, exactly right.
It's like, we're all still just,
we're just cranking
away.
It out. Yeah. But yeah, I really, I was glad to see. I actually looked this morning because my sweetie had not taken a deep dive into David E. Kelley stuff.
Oh, okay.
And has like a passing understanding of Ally McBeal, I think. And so I was telling him about that. I was like, listen, no, it was not that crazy. It wasn't as goofball crazy. It was more grounded, but it still had that like sarcastic kind of satirical flair.
Yes.
And I looked and I saw that it was on Hulu and I was very excited.
It's on Hulu now.
Yeah. Okay, it's great. On Hulu.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think my husband's ever watched an episode either.
Oh, really?
So I should make him sit down immediately.
How did you guys meet?
We met. So about The Practice, Jessica Capshaw, who did, I think, the last two seasons. It was her husband Christopher Gavigan's 30th birthday party, and this guy was there talking to me so rudely. I'm like, please leave me alone, I don't know who you are. No, I'm just kidding.
Perfect.
But yeah, my best friend and I were like sitting at a table just like drinking, hanging out, and he just like sat down and started, you know when people do that, and
yeah,
you're like, what are you,
yeah, I'm not
you
that person
here? Yeah, no, I'm not that person.
Yeah.
But he was. And then the next day Jessica said, my friend Alec really likes you. And I said, who the hell's Alec? And she said, we're going to go to dinner on Wednesday night, me and my husband and you guys. And I cried the entire way to dinner because I just did not want to go on a date with this guy.
It's also so stressful when it's friends of friends.
Totally, because you don't want to make them mad.
You don't want to make them mad, or it works for a while and then it doesn't, and then it's their fault because they created this union.
Totally.
That which now is like, is oh, we can't invite, because if she, and yeah, then he's going to, so we probably should, like, that yes, can be a fucked up situation.
Totally.
So yeah, I get it.
I had just gotten out of a relationship, and so I was still hung up on that relationship, and I went to the dinner and he was awesome. And now we have two children and we've been married for a long time.
That's fantastic. That's a fantastic
yeah,
story.
Yeah, Jessica was very proud of herself at our wedding.
She was like, uh-huh.
I just need everybody to know.
In fact, I should be the one getting all the congratulations if everybody just wants to line up over here. Oh, good for you. Good for you. Yeah. What? How old are your kids?
I have a 3-year-old and
a 6-year-old.
I say like
I didn't totally see them. I saw
you
them.
You see every Instagram photo.
I saw you holding your
one to
2-year-old.
I was going to say Olive must have been like really young.
Yeah.
Because that wasn't this summer. It was the summer before, right?
Oh, yeah. It was definitely a while ago. I'm also really bad at keeping track of time, but it was a good while ago.
I had your card for a year, but clearly it was way longer than that.
Everything starts to sort of blend together for sure.
Yeah.
And what were you doing up there? I think we talked about it then.
There.
You're from there.
Yeah.
So whereabouts are you from the Bay Area?
I am from a small town called Danville, which is in the East Bay.
So cute. Danville is a very charming town.
Adorable. But since we brought the kids with us, we actually stayed in the city and did all that like touristy, you know, Fisherman's Wharf.
Gotta do it. Gotta do it.
So great. We
did
the best time.
And they got it. They were like bright-eyed.
Yeah. And my older daughter, we're going to go again this summer. So if you want to come up to me, it's going to be like August in the airport.
Okay, great. I'll see you there.
I'll probably be there around then.
You'll be buying water. I will also be buying water.
But she really wants to go to Alcatraz.
Oh, yeah.
Super into that.
Have you been?
When I was younger, we did like a field
trip.
Yeah.
What a neat, where am I from? The 50s?
Right.
What a neato daddy-o. It is really, that's a one of those things. It is one of those, and it took me a long time to do that. I think took my dad coming and visiting me and me being like, I guess I have lived in San Francisco for 5 years and I've never gone there. I did.
Okay.
I lived there for almost 9 years.
Okay.
I went to SF State. And then I stayed there, and then I came down here in like 2005,
okay.
I think. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, same thing. But I will say, I used to work at the Pottery Barn on Chestnut Street.
Okay.
And Williams-Sonoma Pottery Barn, like corporate, is all in San Francisco.
Uh-huh.
And there would be times when like it was the flagship store. So I would have like some sort of reason I would need to go to the corporate offices. And oftentimes I would be like, I'm just going to take a little longer. Maybe I'll do it over lunch, because I would walk there. And I actually loved walking along the Fisherman's Wharf, yeah. that sort of area, because it almost made me feel like I was on vacation for a yes. second, because it's so touristy. So yes. in a weird way, instead it's of being so a snob touristy. About it, I was like, I'm kind of embrace love this it. Right now. Yeah.
Yes, that's yeah. so good.
Yeah, Alcatraz is going to be very fun.
I'm very excited.
What about Angel Island? Have you ever
we
been over
done
there?
We haven't yet. We haven't.
Which is a lot. That's less sort of like for kids and more just like, hey, let's walk
Alcatraz
around.
Is
and
definitely yeah. not for kids, but
yeah, but
I think she'll have fun. I mean, it'll be lost on the 3-year-old, but I feel like, you know,
well, just
if she ever yeah. has to go to jail, she'll know how to get out. You know, it feels like it's a really informative trip.
It's going to be great. It's going to be great. That is one of those prisons too, where you're in there and it is both scary, but also there's some, I think there's something about it that does feel like, oh, this is charming. Like once yeah. something becomes old enough,
totally.
The fact that's that there's any windows or yeah. anything sort of feels like, I don't know, this is the gross thing is probably it's like, this is like a movie set.
Right. Well, it's totally, instead it's like real prison life. Break.
This is really cool. So how was Danville? How was it? Like, is Danville big enough? Forgive me for not remembering. Is Danville big enough that like it would have its own series of schools, or would it be like Mill Valley, Danville?
Yeah, no, it has schools. So I lived there from birth till I was about 12. And then my mom and I moved down here because I got full house.
Gotcha.
I was, yeah.
Creepy, I've never seen actor. I've never seen Full House.
You know what?
So I apologize.
I think that is totally
I
fine.
Might be the only person who hasn't no. seen that. There was something else I hadn't seen a frame of that someone, ER. I've never seen a frame
you would really
of ER.
Enjoy that show. But everyone that's a, says that's a that. Commitment if you're going to watch that. Yeah. It goes on for like 15 years.
Yeah. So it does. It feels
you're
overwhelming.
You're going to have to
it's
just
daunting.
Like,
that's a lot of emergencies.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're going to need to get like mono a month in bed.
Surgeries that I would have to oversee as a viewer. Okay, so you got Full House. So you were pursuing
I was.
From there.
I was in ACT in San Francisco.
Sure.
We did plays and all of that stuff. And an agent came and said to my mom, you know, you should really get her an agent in LA and take her. And my mom was very anti.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of just, you know, broke her down at a certain point. And she said, you get one pilot season. Mm-hmm. And so we came for pilot season. And unlike today, it was so much easier to get jobs. Like, I feel like I asked myself, what was different about me then? I must have just given zero Fs, you know?
Well, that I think is, I mean, I've had the same experience coming down here even in my 20s. I was like, this is never going to work out. And I yeah. had that like just yeah. brassy attitude.
Totally. And yeah. I think now that we're older, you know, you go through these periods of just like really wanting something and, you know, it gets yeah. a little bit harder.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I managed to do it.
And also like, I don't know. I mean, I do think there's a difference between like, kids who really have it together and kind of do a great job versus kids who I think it's easy. It might be easier to get an agent and get auditions as a child and yeah. not be any good.
Right.
Whereas as you get older, it sort of thins out and it tends to maybe be like, you know, more people who are functioning at your level.
Yeah.
Rather than then it could yeah. be that like you might have really stood. I'm sure you really stood out. I'm sure they were like, she can act. Everyone,
she's
hold
it.
On.
She's
hold everything. This is, we got a winner.
It's actually really funny. I just directed a short and there was a lot of kids in it. And, you know, as we were going through the process of making it, I said to, you know, my producer, we have to audition kids because I didn't want to use my friend's kids or potentially audition them and then have them hate me. So we went
sure.
the professional route and it was so interesting. Like the second they walked in, you knew if they were going to be good or not,
yeah.
you know, or
yeah.
you knew if they wanted to be there or if their parents forced them into it. It's just kids are so transparent
yes.
that it was really fascinating.
Oh my gosh. Was your empathy just like off the scale?
This one boy walked in and you know the casting director said, what's your name? And he just bawling, like his eyes just welled up with tears.
No.
And he was like convulsing.
Oh,
he was crying so
no.
hard. And I it killed me.
You're
I'm
a mother
mom.
You were yes. a child actor,
all of it.
Oh,
I'm like, please send this kid to normal school.
Yes.
Let him live his life. This is yes. torture.
Yes.
So yeah, it definitely it was an eye-opening experience.
Yeah. Whereas, you know, where did you, because you started so young, did that come from you? That come from, was it like very internal, or was it like my aunt was an actor, or nothing, my dad?
Yeah, nobody in my family, even to this day, you know. So it was all me. And it's scary because my daughter now, my 6-year-old, is so similar, where she came out of the womb like performing, you know, like singing, dancing.
Yeah.
And so I look at her with a little bit of fear because.
Understood. Understood.
I want you to be a normal person. Yeah. You know, like get a job that, you know, I don't know, go to school, do that stuff. So yeah, it was very much something I wanted.
And doing the plays at ACT and stuff, when I'm always, this is one of my favorite things when I talk to people who were doing, especially stuff like live theater as kids, what was your experience immediately almost being a peer with adults, right? Because it's just this different community. Most kids don't have the situation where, yes, they're kids, so they're probably going to be treated somewhat like kids.
Right.
But at the same time, there's something equalizing about performing together that, you know, most young people don't necessarily experience.
Right. That's so true. I think I was always so mature. Like I think I was one of those kids who thought I was 40 when I was like 5.
Yeah.
So I probably never saw it as that I'm a kid, you know, and there's all these adults. I think I did see them as equals and my peer.
Yeah. I think that probably informed why you were good at auditioning and why you know, you didn't have the sort of like, you're there, I'm just here.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
What was some of the stuff that you did at ACT?
I studied there for a long time, but my only production I was able to do was A Christmas Carol.
Great.
And I played a clown. And
there's a clown in A Christmas Carol?
Well, in the ACT version there is. It's a very memorable clown.
You don't remember, Janet, that it mostly takes place in a circus?
Yeah.
How could you be overlooking that?
It's like
that?
The Greatest Showman, but during Christmas time.
Yeah. Merry Christmas, clowns. God, I'm puzzled by this clown development.
What kind of
clown? Like an old-timey clown.
Exactly. Like I wore a mask. I had an outfit on. I just remember cartwheeling outside of some sort of box. Or maybe it was a somersault. There was some sort of like gymnastics move out of a present.
Beautiful.
Out
of a present. So you were the present. Fascinating. Mm-hmm. This is a human trafficking
part
situation.
Of the play. Very, very memorable.
Now that's a tough one because that is sort of like there's one kid role in that really stands out, and it's a boy role.
Right.
Did you have any kind of a sense of because you started working so young too? Did you have a sense of, it's easier for boys or there's more for boys? Or did it kind of just feel like...
That felt later in life.
Yeah.
I do remember maybe like by the time I was 14 or 15, I started to catch on that being a boy is a lot easier. Well, because there's less of them. It's in the business for sure. And if you're attractive and a little bit talented, you are golden.
Yeah.
I think for us, it's different.
Yeah.
We need to check a lot of boxes.
We do need to check a lot of boxes. As we both just get tired and sort of like, you know what? We're going to take a nap for the rest of this podcast.
Absolutely.
So when you got down here and you were doing that, you immediately went into having like tutors on set and stuff like that. How was that?
So my mom was amazing and she really wanted me to go to normal school. So I did. I went to a normal school and they gave me independent study packets.
Nice.
And then there's obviously a teacher on set. So there was never a time in my life, aside from my senior year, because I was already on the practice, where I didn't attend a school.
Yeah. Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
How long would you be out? How long was a season of shooting for?
You know, I was reoccurring at the time on a bunch of stuff. I think the practice was my first series regular, aside from like a pilot one-off.
Gotcha.
As far as I can remember. And I was a senior. And so it's like I'd senioritis. I was like ready to get out of there anyway. So.
Yeah.
I was like, peace.
Especially when you're that connected to the outside world already. I mean, people get senioritis when all they've done is be in school and maybe have a part-time job. And to be in a place where you're like, guys, I got this.
I'm fine.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it was interesting because my last year of high school, I went to a performing arts school called LOXA. And I had an amazing experience there and I loved it. But they didn't like that I was you know, working outside of the school, because their idea is you get your tools here and then you're able to go out, and which was great.
Yeah.
But so when I got the show, there was no negotiating, you know, me staying there. So
right, right. Were really there other people in at LAXA who were actively working? Because that seems like it would be a slippery set of rules. Like,
yeah,
because you're in the city where jobs happen,
right?
It seems like it would be tricky.
Performing,
you don't want to be discouraged from
one. Yeah, it's tricky. I'm not sure. I think there were a handful of kids who did auditions and worked. You know who went to my high school, which was pretty epic, is Josh Groban.
Okay.
So he was in my class.
Alrighty.
So there's a success story there.
Big time.
Yeah.
Big time.
It's pretty awesome.
How much did that performing arts school bring? Was it exclusively performing arts, or did it still try to kind of incorporate some of the basics?
Well, you went to school, I think, from like 7:30 to 12:30, like your academics, and then after that it was whatever your art was. So gotcha. There was visual arts, dancing, music, and theater.
Was there anything besides theater that you kind of like looked
interesting
over
question
at?
So my sophomore year I was for half of it I did theater, and then I switched to music.
Mm-hmm. Singing, instruments, both?
Singing. It was the vocal department.
Yeah. Do you have do you still have a longing to kind of do music stuff?
So I started in music first before I was even acting. And then I think it was my last season of The Practice, I did like a hybrid pilot, but you also had to be a musician. So I got a record deal at Maverick.
Nice!
Which was awesome. And like we made a record that I'm really proud of.
Right.
But Maverick folded before it could come out. So I wound up putting it out myself.
Good for you.
You can find it on Spotify.
Good to know, Spotify guys.
But I, you know, it was kind of, and for a few years after that, I tried to get a record deal again, but it was so, is so something I love so much that it was like heartbreaking that there was so much rejection coming at it. And so I just made a choice that I was going to just do it for fun. And my husband's a composer, so I sing on some of his stuff sometimes.
Great.
So music's like in my life, but not professionally.
Yeah, yeah. That I think it's so funny when somebody is already doing something that the rest of most people see as the thing that would be too heartbreaking to be rejected. Like that's but we're lucky, right? To be in a place where we're like, well, I already do one thing that would be cripplingly heartbreaking to most people if they decided to get into it. I got that box checked.
Yep.
So this other art form, maybe I don't want to pile on.
That's
and
I felt.
Also
I felt like
have
it was
the experience
like
there.
Breaking my heart in a different way.
Yes. That's what I felt when I first started pitching, writing stuff.
It's
I was
more
like,
personal.
Oh my God, this is so much worse. Somehow this
so
is worse.
Much
and
worse.
You think you're going to be conditioned because you've toughened a little bit in these other realms, and it's fresh. It's totally fresh. It's like,
totally.
No, this is a fresh scrape on my arm. Like, my skin is not tough at all.
Well, do you find as you get older that the rejection is just so much harder to take?
I do. Well, yes and no. I think I've gotten better at being like, this was just not my job, or it's not for me, or
for sure.
I'm just going to see whatever's coming as like, something's going to be meaningful to me, and I'm going to look back and be like, thank God I didn't get that.
Yes.
But also I do feel like there are so, because this is such an unpredictable business, there are so many horror stories where friends of mine who have gotten those series regular jobs, who've made a ton of money, were also like, that was the worst 5 years of my life. And they're like, I don't mean to complain, but it was literally the worst 5 years of my life. You know
I
what I mean?
That.
Where they're working with someone where it's a toxic environment. And boy, if you're working, especially if it's like a drama, like an action drama where you're just shooting like 18 hours a day, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That is it's getting all over you.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and you're there.
And you're sensitive.
You
actors are
normal
so sensitive.
Friends or family, like a show like that. I actually just, since I'm getting into the directing world, I just shadowed on a show and it was so interesting to be on the other side and see how certain actors, no one behaved bad on the show that I was on at all. The actors were great, but you see things that bug them, you know, like how many more shots do we have, dude?
Yeah.
And like, and then shadowing the director, you know, he was like, well, we have this, and he has like a vision. He has like this whole thing planned out, but I know you have a 6 o'clock dinner with a friend. Like I'm aware, I've been told. And so it's made me like feel differently about, you know, I've always treated directors, you know, very well, obviously, but even more sensitive to it, you know?
Yeah.
And I do have a little bit of it triggers me a little bit when actors complain, because when they're on a show for 5 years, or because there are just so many other people who would be so happy to be in your position, you know? And I know it's all relative. You could be on a show. Like, if I was on a show shooting in, like, Bulgaria and I was away from my family, I would probably complain 24/7.
Right.
So it's probably a little bit hypocritical for me to say that. But, yeah, actors complaining always kind of fun.
No, it's really tricky. It's really tricky. It's and I think there's always this sort of – I think most people that I would want to be around are very careful to say, like, I hate myself for saying this.
Right.
And please know that I know how lucky I was, but the star of the show was abusive.
Right. Obviously so
You know what I mean? Like,
so
that's
different.
Those are usually the ones that I mean. It's less like, oh, I was bored or I didn't like the material enough.
That's what bugs me. When people complain about the content of the show or like, oh, yeah, I'm on this show. It's like a dumb comedy. Like, don't even watch it. It's multicam. You're going to hate it.
Right.
That always, like, I don't know. I'm like,
yeah.
Kind of bugs me a little
bit. That's not a good reason. Mm-mm. That's not a good enough reason. No.
It's like, oh, you mean like the $50,000 you were making a minute that didn't make it a little bit better for you?
Didn't make it seem funnier to you? Didn't make it seem funnier? Yeah, no, you're right. It's all the relativity thing is so key, and the relativity thing where it's our responsibility to check out of that and look at it from someone else's perspective.
Right.
And go, you know what? Maybe I should look at my life from that perspective for a hot
just
minute.
Know your audience, you know, like if you're around an actor who doesn't have an agent yet and they're trying so hard, you know, don't complain about your hit show.
100%. 150%.
I'm getting a mint.
Yeah, please. I've had gum tucked in my mouth this whole time.
I appreciate that.
I don't know what's going on here.
When I listen to podcasts and you can hear people like, you know,
gnawing on things.
No, like their mouth. Like,
oh, the mouth. Yeah, the dry mouth.
I've
the
been
mouth
listening to
flappy.
The dry mouth. I cannot stand it.
It's tough for me too.
So I just want to make sure it's I don't have that. And if I do, we will re-record.
I wish there were a special filter you could put something through where just like after the fact it takes away whatever
it's
the
so
dry
hard
mouth
to
sound
to
is.
When somebody has that.
It's tough. Have you done any voiceover stuff?
A little bit. Yeah, I did. It was like a movie cartoon called Bionicle a few years ago.
Yeah.
I'm not great at them, though. Like, I've gone on a few auditions, and every time I leave, I'm like, It's also funny. I did a podcast that I had an idea for a podcast, and I did it a few months ago, like a pilot for it, just in my own house. And it was so awakening, because I'm like, I should not have a podcast. I'm so fucking annoying to listen to.
Okay.
I couldn't handle it. And my friend
everyone feels that way.
Was so upset.
No, everyone feels that way. And I think that unless you are like anything else, I would say voiceover is very similar to all this other crap, which is until you're just churning out auditions all the time, you're going to feel weird. And I still feel weird going in, and it's easier from home because then you have less of the sort of like, people are watching me and this is just my voice and I'm making this character choice or whatever that it looks like, so to speak. But it's the same thing. It's like I felt so apologetic going to voiceover auditions for such a long time until finally I was just like, I got to lean in. I got to just lean into this because otherwise I get every audition I'm going to have is going to have like this expression tied to it. Like,
I'm sorry.
You know what? I'm just sorry. I'm sorry.
This is worse.
Yeah.
I'm
so
terrible.
Those are all things that, you know, and that's the other thing I think I've gotten better at getting older is like, oh, I don't have to be great at something right away. And that doesn't mean I'm garbage.
Right. No, it might.
You know?
It might mean you are. I don't know.
Maybe.
Depends on the circumstance.
I mean, there are things I think I've done where I've been like, yeah, I'm not good for this at all. But if you like it enough or if you think you might like it.
Yeah.
You know. But that was what I was going to say. Like, we on the one show that I was on for the most period of time, the vocal director was so amazing. And just like, she was so someone that you wanted her to love you. You know? She just was terrific. And she was so... efficient. Andrea Romano, for those of you who know who that is, there are people now who know who she is because she's so famous as a vocal director. But she would just cut to the chase with stuff like that where she would be. And that is a really hard thing to get over when someone you love and look up to is like, you know what? Can you take a sip of water? You're getting that dry mouth sound. And you're like, can we just leave for the rest of the day? I'm too humiliated
to keep
going. I'm just saying, I get it.
Oh yeah, it's hard.
So what was the high school that you went to that was 9, 10, 11 that wasn't the performing arts high school.
Yeah.
How populated was that with other
very
kids
populated.
Who were... Yeah.
That one was, because it was more of a, you know, professional school, you know, where it's like known if you go there, you kind of go to school.
Right, right, right. What was it? What was it? If you don't
it was called Excelsior.
Okay.
And it's gone now, which breaks my heart.
Oh.
Christina Applegate went there.
Nice.
And one of the guys from Family Ties, whose name I can't remember.
Mm-hmm. I'm, let me see if I can help out.
There was a lot of really fun people who went there.
Yeah. And so, and was that more kind of traditional academics plus performance stuff too?
No,
or was
performance
that,
at all.
No,
it was just there for
gotcha.
You to get your, you know, math, science.
It's a very,
all that good
it's
stuff.
A very education forward sounding name. It's
yeah,
a very
Excelsior.
Like we're all going to become Knights of the Round Table, yeah. everybody. and was there for you? Was there a sense then? Was there anything that you sort of took to that wasn't performing and going off to before, was there anything that sort of pulled your focus in a good way academically where you were like, I did like, you
I
know,
mean, I
blank.
Loved English and writing. I was always so bad at math. Still to this day, I'm so terrified for my kids to like get homework and need me to help them
oh,
with things.
Oh my gosh. I can't even.
Yeah. So that's a little terrifying. And now they teach a new version of math that we didn't even learn.
Yeah. I don't know what to say about
like,
that.
Well, then that'll be my excuse. They'll be like, oh, they didn't teach me this in school. Sorry.
New math. I can't. I don't speak that language. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like because at such a young age, I knew I wanted to be an actor. It was hard for me to focus in the academics. I wasn't amazing. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
I probably phoned a lot of it in because I knew I wasn't going to be a scientist or, you know, I didn't need chemistry.
Sure, sure, sure. Yeah.
I just was very focused on that.
Yeah. And what was your, did you date? Were you?
Serial monogamous.
My boyfriend
in high school, Lucas Guerin, loved him. I definitely thought I was going to marry him. Did not marry him. I went from him to another long-term boyfriend of 5 years. There was like a few people sprinkled in there.
Yeah.
But not too many. And then I met my husband.
Yeah.
Kind of a dork.
Do you feel like that pattern, because that is unusual, right? For a high schooler, but also what you were doing was very grown up in
yeah.
a sense. And so I wonder if that was like, if that you were sort of advancing, like, well, I see these relationships around me that older people are having where it's like you make a commitment and you're with someone. And
I think for me, it's like,
and
I
you felt
love,
like you were 40 when you were
I
five.
I was 40 anyway. So I'm like, I got to find my husband. I'm
yeah.
already like a freshman running out of time. No, I think for me, it's like I'm a creature of habit. Like, I remember when I got on the practice and I got to go to the same place every day and see the same people. I loved it because I hadn't really done that before.
Yeah.
I was like show hopping.
Yes. Yeah,
so
going into
me,
work.
Yeah, it's like, exactly. Like, yeah. I loved that, and I still love that. So I think for me, it was the same with, like, a boyfriend, you know? I like hanging out with the same guy. We do all the same fun stuff, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And in terms of when you were on the practice and that started, did you have a sense because of who – I can't remember the order in which – David E. Kelley was doing stuff, but did
so
when you got it, was there a sense of like this could really
yeah,
be something
I
last
came in on the second season and I remember,
oh god did you I didn't
yeah.
even remember that
and it was already doing really well and then I remember I was on the show for like a month and it got nominated for an Emmy and they invited me to go to the Emmys and I was like well I have no part in this and then it won which was so great so yeah it was already doing like pretty well by the time I got there had nothing to do with me
did you did you have a sense of, did you, because of your other experiences leading up to that point, did you have a sense of like, this could all go away at any moment? Like, did you, or did you allow yourself to kind of relax into it for a while?
I think that's like one of my biggest regrets is that I didn't, well, it's not really a regret. I just was too young to know
yeah.
that it's not normal to just like hop on a show and get on a show and it does really well. And, you know, when you're 16, you like buy your own car, you know,
yeah.
I didn't take it for granted. I wasn't a brat or anything, but in the moment, I wasn't completely aware of how, you know,
which again,
fragile it was.
Everyone's norm is so different, and whatever that becomes quickly, it's
yeah.
we are very adaptive creatures, which is why humans have taken over the world.
Yeah,
I can't believe we don't have undergrounds like underground and underwater cities yet. But you know, people figured out how to live in 100-degree weather when there was no fans, there
right.
was no nothing, you
right.
know. So we we adapt. And so that's like a great thing, but it's also like how we were saying about relativity. It's
right.
hard because you tend to lose your perspective if you're not totally. Checking in with it all the time, because you're just a person living your normal life, and that's what it becomes.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. I actually am remembering, I think I said that was my first series regular of The Practice. It was, and I did one, a show before that with Tim Curry and Annie Potts. And I remember when that got canceled, we did 13 episodes. It was like soul crushing. I'm
yeah.
so upset, like
yeah.
in hysterics when it got canceled.
That's so. A fun cast.
It was so
Tim
fun.
Tim Curry and Annie Potts. Yes.
Oh, and Steve Carell.
And Steve Carell. What was the show?
Before he was Steve Carell. It was called Over the Top, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. it was on ABC.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a multicam, and it was just so fun.
God, that's great.
Yeah.
Multicam, and what a different experience going from multicam to single
yeah.
cam, too.
Yeah. yeah.
Do you sort of feel called to one or the other?
I think inherently I'm drama, because sometimes I definitely wonder if I'm funny. But my schedule now as a mom, like,
it's kind of a dream comedy, schedule. To
yeah.
do.
Like,
yeah.
You know, right now I'm doing Fuller House, and I leave there at like 3 or 3:30. So yeah. it's great. It's like the ultimate half yeah. work, half mom, you know, it's like perfect.
That's lovely. Lovely.
Yeah. Films at Warner Brothers down the street from my house. So it's like,
I know, right. Yeah. It might be, again, everything's relative, but it might be a different story if it was like you had to shoot a fox. Traffic in yeah. LA is
well,
not
is
going
the hardest
to be
one to get to.
Yeah.
So, we did The Practice in Manhattan Beach, which is so far, but it wasn't that hard to get to. You just shoot down the 405 and yeah. sometimes you crawled there.
Right.
But I feel like fox, I'm always like, do I take
what's
the canyon?
The best?
Do I go,
and then
I still don't know. I've lived here like my whole life.
I agree.
It's just like
I think I struggle with Sony too. Well, maybe
Sony's
not because yeah, if you can get if you're in good shape, but now we're doing it.
I can't stop myself. Don't give us auditions
How
in Fox
gross.
Or Sony ever.
How gross! Oh my gosh! And so and what were you consuming as like in terms of entertainment and stuff? What were you? What did you get inspired by or excited by, if anything? If you,
I loved Ally McBeal. Like I was a huge fan of that. So when I was able to work with David E. Kelly, that was really exciting. I'm trying to remember. I think I was like so music driven. Like mm-hmm. I had a Silverchair
yeah,
obsession. I don't know if you remember Silverchair. They were these three dudes from Australia.
Yes, I remember them, but I couldn't name or sing a song.
Right. Well, now when I run into people from high school, it's the only thing people remember about me. They're like, do you still like Silverchair? Or like, do you remember how crazy obsessed you were? Like, I was like unhealthily obsessed with them.
Oh, that's
yeah.
amazing.
Yeah.
It feels good when you're that age to have a thing that
totally.
You're just like,
I saw them every time
I
they
give
were in
my
LA.
Life for these people.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
I memorized every song on guitar and vocally.
Can you
them.
Give me a snippet of something
yeah,
that was like
well,
their
there
most
one
famous?
Song that,
yeah.
that song, Tomorrow. Like, mm-hmm. you wait till tomorrow. Remember that one?
No,
oh,
but
Jesus is so embarrassing.
It doesn't, yeah, I mean, I'm
gonna
really
email it to you.
Okay, yeah,
email
it to
you.
Me. I mean, I could probably just Google it. But what I wonder what it was about them that just like did it for you.
I don't know. They were super cute, so that helped a lot.
Did you like that they were Australian?
I love their accents.
Yeah,
I just love the music a lot. I mean, even the other day, God, this is so toolish of me. But when I'm driving like far and I'm alone in my car, which is really rare, I either listen to a podcast or I'll put on like Spotify, an old record that I
yeah.
love. Like I'll listen to like, you know, August and Everything After by Counting Crows. Like
yes.
just something like old that takes you back to that
yes.
place that
I
you just feel.
Totally get it.
In your room, like
yeah.
young teenager. Like I get nostalgic and I normally will cry. And I
completely
so
get it. I definitely agree. I have the same experience. Those are usually the most fun to sing along to
yeah.
for whatever reason. Is there anything that you loved then that you had that you've tried to do that with that for some reason you can't carry it over? Do you know what I mean? Because I think most of the time we have those deep connections. We're just going to hear them how we heard them then. And if you played
right.
it for someone now, they would be like, yeah, that's not for me. And you'd
right.
be like, maybe it wouldn't be for me either now.
Right. But then
but I am married to that.
Yeah.
yeah. To that version of me that loved them, you know?
Yeah.
Or was there anything that you're like, you know, I tried to listen to da 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 and it just kind of didn't make the journey with me.
I feel like this is such an unpopular answer, but the one thing I never got into was the Grateful Dead. And I feel like I know a lot of people who like love it. And
yeah.
I don't get it.
I don't even know. I mean, yeah, I've never, I think what I, this will be interesting. This will be an interesting analysis. Okay. I've never analyzed why I didn't like them. Right. So this is a first.
I just don't.
I think they're not vocal forward. Mm. I think Jerry Garcia's voice feels like it's so
in the background.
In the back, mm-hmm. and it's not a super strong voice, which is not, you know, I don't think he ever pretended that it was.
Mm. Right.
But I wonder if that's part of it for you and me, because there just wasn't anything that grabbed me.
Not at all. No. No.
You know?
No.
I think it might be a vocal thing.
Maybe. That's interesting.
I'm trying to think if there's any like classic band that I would have gotten into that who I wouldn't say like, oh, I love that person's voice.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Huh.
I also don't really like Bob Dylan.
You which don't. Is, I don't. Do like Bob Dylan, but I wasn't like a Psycho fan, you know?
Yeah.
Who else don't I
also
really
sort of didn't get like the U2 thing. I didn't.
Oh, okay. But I almost bought this drink at Gelson's before have I you, came here. Is it good?
I love it. This is just water in the bottle that I already drank.
Oh, okay.
But this is, yeah, this is an apple cider vinegar.
It wasn't that great. Flavor.
This
it
one's
was the plain.
Sweetened with stevia also. So it doesn't have anything in it. It's everything is at zero, but it tastes to me like lemonade and ginger ale mixed.
Great. Which and maybe, apple cider is supposed to be so good for us.
It's supposed to be great for us. I can't say whether it is or not, but now that I found this drink, it also makes a mean margarita.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's a great, like,
a
skinny
mean.
Margarita.
Yeah.
Because there's
so
nothing
you just do
in
tequila
it.
And that?
Mm-hmm. Mm. And then, like, fresh squeezed lime juice.
Lime juice.
Yeah.
That's all I drink is tequila and lime. Like, and when you go to a restaurant and they try to, like, put whatever, agave and all these things in it, I find it just... not just gross.
Once you get used to something that's very
just
like
clean,
minimal,
yeah,
I couldn't agree more.
It gets you real drunk though, because there's nothing in it.
That's also true.
That could be really bad.
Alarmingly true. And what about that kind of stuff when you were a teenager? Because you're exposed to this sort of grown-up world, and you're in Hollywood, and you're in the business.
Yeah.
Did you indulge in that kind of stuff? It doesn't seem like you would have been able to because you were working so much.
Yeah, it's really funny. So a good friend of mine, Rachel Lee Cook, we both came up together. I saw her at every audition. She's like one of my closest friends. I love her. We talk about this all the time. Nobody offered us anything.
Oh, really?
We didn't have the opportunity. Like, I guess it was just like really apparent that we're like
the good
not
girls?
Gonna do it. You know, I don't know.
That's
like,
so funny.
I definitely like smoked cigarettes and I smoked pot, but it stopped there. Like, I never have been offered drugs.
Yeah.
Isn't God, that crazy?
Is, I'm 37. It is crazy.
Still,
it
no
is
one thinks
crazy.
That I should do a line off a coffee table. Do you,
until now. Listen, I'm going to just take this little packet
just
out.
Dropping a hint.
Don't be worried. Don't be worried. It's going to be fine.
It at 10:30 in the morning.
It's going to make your mouth sound real dry. So we're going to have to re-record. But you also probably were not. It's not like you were going to a club where like.
I did, though.
Did you really?
I went through a club phase.
This
I went through like party house phase.
Yeah. So fascinating. Party house phase.
Or whatever. When you go to someone's house, it's like a party.
Yeah.
I wonder why no one offered you drugs, Marla. Maybe it's because you're a total dork. This surprises no one.
Party house phase. So you were doing like club stuff. Yeah. Because that's another thing where I can't. My friend Dante was like very much and still is like somebody who is very plugged in to, you know, the hip hop scene and like clubbing and stuff like that and DJing and all that. And I was so done with that stuff by the time I got here that it's beyond peripheral to me. Like I have no real sense of like when would go. I'm sure I would be like, let's go to a club for fun. And I would just pick some place and everyone would be like, no. Like that place is for tourists or whatever.
I mean, I feel like, you know, I went through that phase very young. Like by the time I was 22 and I was done with it, you know, and it was never drugs. It was always alcohol.
Yeah.
I don't know. And now like it couldn't be more of a hard pass for me. I'm like, if someone has a birthday party past like 10 and they want me to come to like a bar or something, I better be a real
good
friend.
I'm an old lady.
It's a rough one.
The volume of a place has to be like can only be a certain level before I'm like, I feel like I'm losing my voice and I'm not saying anything meaningful. I'm out. Goodbye.
It's so, like if it's a nice sit down dinner or if we're going to like Costa Vega or something, like sign me up.
Yeah.
But if it's any sort of, clubbish, loud, dark environment,
yeah,
I just get really uncomfortable.
I get tired, grumpy, uncomfortable. Grumpy,
totally. I'm so like, I need to be at quickly. Home in bed watching like some form of A Real Housewife yeah. do something crazy. Like, this is too much.
I'm doing us all a favor by leaving. Yes. I'm doing us all a favor. And by the way, I'm Irish goodbying. I'm not saying goodbye to anyone.
Wait, so that's
I'll just
move.
Suddenly be gone. And, yes. and someone will be like, when did Marla leave? And it's like, yeah, that's right.
So this
could have been 5 minutes ago. Could have been 2 hours ago.
This has been my mistake my whole life.
Don't announce it.
I always say goodbye to the freaking host.
Yeah.
And about 2 weeks ago, a friend of mine had like a Coachella party at night. And I went up to her. I'm like, I'm so tired. I got to go home. She's like, but Beyonce is like 20 minutes. How are you leaving? Yeah. And I'm like, Beyonce's great, but I can also watch her at my house.
Yeah.
And so my friend came up to me and she's like, you're an idiot. Why'd you say bye to her? Because she gave me so much shit for leaving her house. She's like, it would have been like 1 a.m. and she would have been like, oh, wait, where's Marla?
Yeah.
When did she leave? New move.
I know. It's... I can't recommend it enough.
Oh, it's good.
It's golden.
It is. But what if you're at like a more intimate situation and people can like blatantly see you're still like taillights
you,
by?
No, if it's more intimate. I mean, if it's like, you know, but to be honest with you, we recently had people over and I got really tired. It was like something that started around 7:30. And by like 10:30, I was done. I was like,
get out?
I Irish goodbye my own party.
You were like, I'm going to bed.
I kid you not. I disappeared. Luckily, I had like, you know, I have a partner. Right. So he like, and he likes staying up late. Right. So he could like, sort of man it. But I really did. I was like, it's going to be so uncomfortable if I like say goodnight to everyone. Like I'm a child who's being put to bed. I'm just going to quietly go into the other room. That's the first time I've ever done that. And I was pretty aware. Yeah. I mean, that really showed me like, wow. You when you want to be antisocial, you will walk out of your own party.
Yes.
Like that was bananas.
Oh my gosh, I love it. I think
it was
so
the
good.
Extreme.
It's so good.
But you know,
when you're done, you're done.
I also had a blister on my pinky toe that I don't know how I got it, but it was on the bottom. That shit does not feel good to stand on.
No.
Yeah, and it was just like it was a combination of that and being tired. And I was like, I'm done. Yeah. I'm just
you're like, guys, you
done.
Came at 7. Why? What
yeah.
are you still doing
why
here?
Are you this? We're not that fun.
Like clearly, when I say 7, I mean you're leaving by 9.
And believe me, there were people that absolutely are those people who were like, and we're also done.
Right.
This was great. What a great couple hours we had together.
Bye bye.
Yeah. Yeah. I appreciate that as well, that there are more people as we get older who are like, we have a babysitter or I have to work tomorrow, that kind of stuff.
All
I'm
of
like,
it.
All for it.
Yeah.
And anybody who wants to do their birthday thing, it's like a brunch or a lunch. I'm so excited.
Oh, what a goddess you would be if you did a brunch.
So delightful.
So great.
Okay. All right. Listen, I want to get into this MASH game. I'm very excited about it. We know the rules of this MASH game. So I'm just going to give you some categories and you're just going to give me three things per category. And then we'll find out where your future's headed.
Okay. Well, yeah, definitely need to know that.
It's very important.
I'll match it up with the psychic that I'm going to go to too. No, I'm just kidding.
Wait,
I want to.
That's a whole conversation.
Okay.
I do too. But every time, no, I've done it twice, but both times I've gone to someone that like a very dear friend is like, this is going to be life changing.
Yeah.
It's been someone where I've been like, no, that person, I don't
is
even think
idiot.
They were like intuitive.
Yeah,
they
like
were
making things up.
They got lucky with you sort of thing.
Yep. Yep.
And I hate being disappointed by that stuff.
I know.
I want magic.
Magic.
I want to know that magic
tell me
is
everything.
In the world. Yeah. Yeah. This I think will tide you over at the very least.
I'm excited.
And it will probably go bigger, probably bigger and less realistic than any psychic would take you. So that's going to be good too. So I'm going to start out with three roles, that it could be from any, it could be, you know, a ballet, it could be a musical on stage, it could be a film. Three roles that in this alternate universe you get to play, even though someone else originated it, even though it's a one-off, whatever.
So
this is your chance to be like, I want to embody that character.
I've always wanted to be Eponine from Les Mis.
Great.
Like, killed me that I never got. Now I feel like I'm too old. Like, she needs me.
Not
like
in this situation.
In my MASH game, I'm Eponine.
In your MASH game.
I think Reese Witherspoon's character, June Carter, in Walk the Line.
Great.
Could totally.
Great. I can really see that. That's great.
That would be awesome. And not that I'm obsessed with Reese Witherspoon, but Tracy Flick
in
Election.
Great choice.
I shouldn't even try touching it because
no.
she's so
listen,
good.
This is an alternate universe where there
okay,
is
I'm
no
touching
Reese Witherspoon.
It now. Touching it.
It's got to get made
like,
somehow.
Reese,
we need
sorry,
you.
I'm
we
obsessed with you in
you
a silver chair way, clearly. but you've played some amazing parts.
She really has. She's done some really special work. I couldn't agree more. I also love that you actually remember the character's name, because I knew exactly clearly who it was. But had you asked me what the girl's name is, right, I would have been like,
yeah, what was it?
Yeah. But I would have been able to conjure Legally Blonde very quickly.
You. I hope that's on your list. Because you could do that.
Maybe. My friend's, when I was in my 20s, my friend's daughter, she took her to see some movie, and the little girl like poked her and whispered, "Why does she have Janet's face?"
No.
Like, that was her. She knew it wasn't me. Right. So she clearly knew we only looked like each other, but she thought some kind of weird face morphing thing had been happening.
I could totally see that.
I was like, I'll take it. Yeah. I'll take it. She's great. She's a sassafras. I love her. Okay, great. So the next category is going to be somewhere in the world that you would have a vacation home if getting there were not a pain in the ass at all. And it can be a place you've been, a place you've never been. Whatever your idea of that place is.
My vacation home, because it's my favorite place in the whole world, even though I've been to multiple places, is Hawaii. Like, okay. I just don't think anything beats it.
Well, you're going to have to come up with two more. So if you want, you can isolate it to individual islands of Hawaii.
Oh, because
you have to do three.
I think my other option would be Paris.
Mm-hmm. Great.
And then I would love to live in the city of San Francisco, like in
great.
The city.
Great, 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 great.
Stomach's growling.
That's another thing that always happens to me. If I've already eaten, my stomach is digesting.
Yes.
If I'm hungry, it's growling. It's just making noise all the time.
I agree.
And it happens to me constantly doing any kind of voiceover thing. It's very embarrassing because it picks up everything.
Yep.
Next category is going to be, let's do three alternate universe careers.
Okay. A makeup artist.
Great.
A nutritionist.
Oh.
Or a dietitian.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd have to go to school longer for dietitian, so let's keep
it. There's no school. You immediately become it.
Oh, great.
You immediately become it.
No need to go. What is my third one?
I mean, do we want you to be a singer who is doing that?
Sure.
Where there's no recording artist, I'm putting. To make it sound even more fancy. Okay, great. All right, listen, this is just part of the MASH game. All due respect to Alec. And I mean all due respect. Oh, it is a MASH game.
Him.
So I'm going to just let him go.
Yeah.
He never existed.
Yeah.
Three people that you have your alternate universe romance with.
Yes. Ryan Gosling. You could just go ahead and put him all
I didn't
three.
Even have to finish my sentence.
Ryan Gosling. Oh my gosh, I'm saying so much, and I hate when I listen to podcasts and people are umming all over town.
I actually don't feel that you've done that really at all, other than when you're actually thinking about a thing that is very normal for all of us to do.
Why am I forgetting every hot opportunity? Johnny Depp. I mean, I know he's kind of getting up there, but he's still such a babe.
Yeah.
And let's see, who else?
Wow, I just accidentally wrote a P instead of a D, and Johnny Pep is a very different person than Johnny Depp. Johnny Pep is his hyperactive brother.
So good.
Johnny Pep.
Let me see. Who else is there? I want it to be like a rock star, maybe.
What about one of these Silverchair guys?
Yeah.
Or do they come as a package? Okay. All three.
This is a funny story. So I actually got an opportunity to meet them when I was probably 13, 14, maybe 15. And I went backstage with my friend and this director, this Australian director, who was the way I got to go backstage because she knew them or their manager or something. And they were just like so goofy and did not want to talk to me at all. And I was just standing there like such a nerd. And they just were like, why is this girl standing here? And why is she backstage? And why isn't she talking?
It's really the don't meet your hero fear. It really is like, if this doesn't go exactly as I want it to, will
I
regret it forever?
I was just kicking myself. You know, I was like, why didn't you speak to them?
Yeah.
Or make a great impression or get an engagement ring from one of them. None of that happened.
Those are the three steps. Those were the three possible outcomes.
That's what I went
and
in.
And none of them happened.
Nope.
You didn't close the deal in any way, shape, or form. Do you want one of those or all three of them?
C- Could it be somebody who's no longer with us?
Oh, absolutely. This from any time period.
Yeah, this isn't
from
a real...
any time period.
Okay, I'm going to say Chris Cornell.
It could be young. It could be young Johnny Depp.
Oh, I'm going great. Chris Cornell because I just loved him so much. His music, his everything.
Yes. Yeah, that one. That was a really tough one.
Mm-hmm.
I am actually gutted right now because the lead singer of Frightened Rabbit committed suicide, I did not know I was going to take it so poorly. So many, like, we've lost so many great musicians of late, but I just haven't had that personal reaction, and I've completely empathized with other people, but at a distance, I think I also was like, wow. She really loved Tom Petty. Like, there's like a part of it where if it's not specific to you, you kind of can't totally relate.
Right.
And then this guy killed himself and I lost my shit as if it were my best friend. And I was like, okay, I'm an asshole because I kind of thought it was weird that people were mourning so deeply over some of these very famous singers. Like, they just weren't my singers.
Right.
And then my singer died and I was like, I'm broken. Do I have to do anything today other than feel sad?
Right.
Ugh.
That's how I felt about Chris Cornell. I remember my husband, you know, he went to the gym early in the morning and he came home. He's like, you're never going to believe this. And he told me, and I was so upset, equally as upset. And I mean,
that's good to hear you say that. Honestly,
I agree. No one's really, you know, hit me that hard before, but like that one broke my heart.
Yeah. The first time I really remember having a very like bad, weird, dark feeling about someone I didn't really know or a celebrity dying was Brittany Murphy. I still remember when she died, I remember just being like, this is dark. Like, this is hard. This is very weird and I don't feel good. And then the same with Anton Yelchin. Like, when it's just stuff where you're like, there's still lightness in the world. There's still lightness in the world. Like, there's still lightness.
I remember when Heath Ledger died, I was kind of obsessed with the story a little bit. And I kept checking, you know, TMZ and people and like what happened and what was going on in the days before. And I needed comfort.
We need to solve those puzzles because we have to put reason to things because it's very scary when something happens out of left field. And it feels like even with people who touch a lot of people, like whatever consistency you expected from them when they're gone.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa, hold on.
Especially when it's suicide too, because you're just like, oh my gosh, you made that choice.
I know.
You know? I mean, I can never understand it. And I hopefully you can't either, that just deep, dark depression that makes you go there. And literally you think people's lives are better without you, which is such a sad thought.
I know. I so love that I brought us down. I really brought us down.
What else is going on for me?
Good work. Okay, let's do this. This is a version of your life as directed by three directors. So it's sort of the style of what they bring to the table is like how you sort of get to live your life for a little bit.
Okay, Cameron Crowe.
Great.
Love him.
That dovetails nicely with Chris Cornell. Exactly. Got the sort of northern vibe.
Yes. I'm gonna say Steven Spielberg because come on, why not?
Absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely. What would he do with it, you know?
Yeah.
You want to see what he would do with it. Great.
And then I gotta throw a female director in there.
Let's throw one in.
Why is it so hard to remember?
There
any...
are so few.
Yeah. Let's do the Wonder Woman director. What's her name? Patty Jenkins?
Yes.
Let's do her.
Great. Okay, awesome. Okay, next category, three foods that in this reality are bad for you, you're allergic to, it's environmentally not responsible to eat, all that. Throw all of that out the window. In this world, available at the snap of a finger.
Okay, pizza.
It's good for you.
I just love pizza so much. Me I would too. Eat it all day, every day if I could.
Yeah, you're a reasonable person. That's exactly how
next
this is,
level
should
delicious.
Be on your list.
When my kids, when we go to a birthday party and that's what they serve, which is every birthday party, and they don't want to eat it, I'm dumbfounded.
Yeah.
I'm basically saying to you, if you don't eat this pizza, you cannot have cake. I'm forcing you to eat the pizza and they still don't eat the pizza. I'm like, God,
it's
I don't
a
want
stunner.
That willpower. So then, guess who eats the pizza?
Yeah, pizza.
The mom.
100%.
Mom sits there and eats their disgusting pizza 100%. From Domino's. Okay, sushi.
Yes, great.
Because I love sushi.
Yep, same.
And this number three is going to be so controversial, guys. But I'm going to say Taco Bell. If it means I can eat it and not be fat or toxic.
You're not the only one.
Okay.
You're not the only one. I think that is a guilty pleasure for many people.
I have to be drunk to go, though, because I have to justify it.
Like, I understand.
I can't just be like, let's get Taco Bell now. It has to be some, like, you know, decision that was made under an influence.
It's a different you. Yeah. It's Taco Bell.
I got taken over.
I get it. I really, really get it. Okay. Next category. Let's do... do you guys enjoy like Disneyland, sort of doing that kind of stuff?
Yeah, so Disneyland is an obsession in our family.
Okay, great.
Yeah,
okay,
we're
great.
Big Disneyland people.
Okay, good. This is good. I'm kind of leaning back. I was doing this for a handful of episodes, and then I had one person who was like, "I hate Disneyland," and then I just like got
Don't
scared
ever have
and
them on
never.
The show again.
I know. I never brought it up. I've like haven't brought it up for a while, and then the other day I brought it back in. So I'm going to put it back into rotation. Three rides at Disneyland or Disney World, you know, someplace like that. Can somehow magically become like real places, like kind of based off of whatever the experience
of riding is. I'm
going
to grab my husband, Johnny Depp, and take us to the Pirates of the Caribbean together.
Great.
I think Peter Pan.
Great.
That world is just
That's such a great ride. What a simple ride that's so magical still.
It's the best. Always has such a damn long line though. Yeah. And then Small World.
Yeah. Great. Great, 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 great. Okay, and then final category, the pressure.
I love that you come up with these on the fly. That's so impressive.
You know, these are like, there's definitely some built-ins here, but I try to break it up a little bit. I haven't done the director thing in quite a while. You know what? Let's do the cousin to that. Let's do the like kind of accompanying soundtrack, three bands or singer-songwriters or... you know, classical composers, whatever you want, that sort of gets to be this brand new... like music of your life as you're just like driving, doing your thing, whatever.
Right. So number one for me is Joni Mitchell.
Great.
That's just my everything.
Yeah. Could not agree more. That's definitely the person I'm like, I can never meet her.
No. And she's like not doing well apparently, which every time someone mentions it to me, that'll be another suicide watch for you and I when she goes.
Bad, bad, bad one.
Let's bring back Nirvana.
Great.
Because I still force my kids to listen to Nirvana. And like if he
You're going to listen to Nirvana, you're going to eat your pizza. I'm going to Disneyland.
Yeah.
What a terrible life.
Why are you such a fuck up? and the Beatles.
Great.
Those are two bands that I like play in the car on the reg because I want them to know about this music. You know, it's not
Absolutely.
All about, you know, Cardi B and whatever.
Yeah.
Ariana Grande. And they're very talented. But
yes.
You throw
You're
going to
give them the scope.
Six-year-old.
The full scope.
It's
certainly.
Crazy. Yeah.
Certainly that is true. Okay, great. So just to get the number that I'm going to use to eeny, meeny, miny, mo, I just need to do a very quick thing. So you just tell me when to stop.
Okay. Stop.
Great. I'm going to pause this.
Uh-huh.
Do some what I would not call math.
Okay.
And come back with your 100% guaranteed MASH future.
I can't wait.
Okay, sorry. I'm back. So I'm going to start out with this is now this is I'm starting out with this because I have a task. I have a calling for you that I'm hoping you'll be able to bring to the world via this other profession that you have.
Okay.
You're a wonderful makeup artist.
Thank you so much.
You have done some really great innovative work. I've seen a lot of your stuff on the runways.
Yes.
Your Met Gala stuff. I saw the retrospective.
Yeah. I really loved it.
Everything holds up. It's all
thank
very
you.
So I don't want to isolate this to like being Black Panther specific because it stretches beyond that in like a lot of futuristic movies.
Uh-huh.
But I love like colorful makeup that is not just like blush or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like give me the like, you know,
like
yellow
tribal
stripe along this. Yeah. Or give me like I don't know. I just feel like we could use more color.
A geometric type stuff?
Maybe so.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll think about it.
You know what I mean? Like kids don't need to be the only ones who can have like a little sunshine painted on their cheekbone.
Oh, that's such a
good
idea.
You know, let's open it up a little bit, guys.
For sure.
Let's open it a little bit up.
Noted.
So thank you. Thank you. I'm sorry to immediately give you a task.
No.
With your new career.
Yes.
But I also know that you're going to be very busy because you are able, when you go on vacation, to your, now listen, you did get a shack, but it's a shack in Paris.
Oh.
I'm sorry, you didn't get the mansion, apartment, or house.
Give me all the bread and cheese.
You're going to get, even a shack in Paris costs $1 million. So you're going to be just fine.
Okay.
When you want even more adventure, you want to go beyond just your vacation home, rest assured you can step into the world of the Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yes.
Whenever you want. I don't know. I mean, listen, if you're on the open sea, I would imagine that a lot of sushi would be available. I want to reassure you, it doesn't matter where you are, because you yourself, snap of your fingers, you can just like, I Dream of Jeannie, conjure it up. It's there.
It's so good.
It's great. All the sushi. That's great. All the sushi. I also want to say I loved your performance as June Carter, Cash.
Thank you so much.
Wonderful, wonderful work really hard there.
A lot of research went into that role. A lot of research.
Before you even knew you were doing the research, exactly. You probably were doing the research. Yep. So great work with that. And I also want to congratulate you on this this very special life you have, where there's an element of like your life is it's seen through the eyes of like a Patty Jenkins movie.
Oh, so good.
Soundtrack by Joni Mitchell.
Yes.
Music, I assume, incorporating lyrics about your wild and wonderful romance with Ryan Gosling.
So good. Yes.
Well done.
Ryan eating sushi off my abs in Paris.
That's right. That's
all I need.
That's right. That's what's headed your way in your alternate universe future.
So exciting.
Thank you so much for doing the podcast.
Thank you
I'm
for having
so glad
me
we
on.
Made it happen.
Me too.
What would you like people to know about? We talked about a little bit some of the stuff that you've got going on, but would you like people to look for you on social media? What else can they look
out
for?
With, so the short that I made that I was saying the kids were in.
Yeah.
It's about preschool in Los Angeles making fun of food allergies, and so
beautiful.
That's going to be coming out on Awestruck in a few weeks.
Okay, great. Awestruck,
really
awesome.
About. And then if that gets
and email
enough,
me too, and I'll say when it does come out.
Oh, that'd
give
be
me,
so awesome.
Send me the link, and I'll talk about it in the intro.
Okay, great. Yeah, and if we get enough eyes on that, there's a chance of it becoming a series. So we're just hoping and praying that everybody loves it.
Okay, good. We're gonna look out for that.
Yeah.
And where are you on social media too, so people can get the word?
Instagram, it's Marla Sokoloff.
Great.
Facebook, I don't really do. I know I do it privately. But I don't even do it privately because it just...
Yeah. Same.
On Twitter, I don't really do Twitter either, but it's
Instagram's
Marla Sock.
It's a great... listen, don't waste your time doing anything else.
I had to take
else.
All of it just off my phone except for Instagram, because Instagram you can't do on a computer, but
oh, yeah.
I was just finding myself checking things too much. And
I think many people are in that space where it's like, I gotta be present or get...
Yes.
Yeah, it's a shocking time suck.
It would consume me if I didn't check Twitter, and it just was crazy. So anyway, that's all gone.
I get it.
But
I
now
it.
I only have one thing to check, so I kind of is starting to checking that a lot because I don't have many options.
You're gonna be very well versed in the Insta sphere. Awesome. I will talk to everybody next time on the podcast. Thanks again.
Thanks for having me on.
Goodbye. As always, the JV Club theme song is Back Before We Were Brittle by the amazing Say Hi.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.